Well, good morning. Welcome to the Hill. For those of you who are guests, we're excited to have you with us today. Those that may be listening on TV or online, we're blessed to have you tuning in and worshiping with us, and just grateful for the opportunity to come into your home and to speak to you and to share God's word with you. Let me just do something a little bit different. We don't normally do that, but I just have to do that. This morning I have a former church member and just somebody dear to my heart that's here. Lucille Turner is sitting back here. Lucille and her daughter Leslie have come in. Lucille and her husband Charles is going to be with the Lord, and they were just real instrumental in blessing our church years and years ago. They're the ones who launched our nursery ministry here at the church when, you know, we were at that time where on Sunday morning, we just kind of, when service started, we just kind of looked around. Anybody got a babies, you know, or anything? Okay, we have two, so who'll go and, you know, create a nursery? And that was the way we did. And Charles and Lucille came in and just opened up doors for us and really were what God used to start us on our journey. Lucille, would you stand, please? I just want to say thank you. This lady. Amen. We're grateful. We're grateful for her. Catherine and I had already had Kristen, and then Joel was coming, and Lucille, we called her because somebody had to stay with Kristen while I took Catherine to the hospital that morning, and so they lived across the road over here, about catty-cornered, and I still remember seeing Lucille running across the road, 2 a.m. in the morning, in her silky gown and house shoes of flopping and everything, her hair the best it could be, running across the road, coming to the parsonage there so that I could get Catherine on to the hospital. So just dear, sweet, precious lady, I appreciate her so much. It's good to have her here this morning, and Leslie, you as well. Thank you so much. I want us to just celebrate today. We've got some more to welcome into our fellowship. As I shared with you, our Life 101 class was so large last time, we couldn't get everybody in right at the beginning. And so I want to just give you the second half of those who came to unite with our fellowship. We just want to celebrate them this morning. So if you'll watch the screen, I'll give you the names, and then we're just going to welcome them into the fellowship here on the Hill. This morning is Sean Myers, Kim Noble and Lance Modisette, Shelby Perkinson, Hayden Pounds, Will and Cynthia Pounds, Erica Salaiz, Trinity Skeef, Harold and Renee Sego, Mark and Laurie Selman, Peter and Sandy Shotwell and Cassie Macias, Basil and Cheryl Sims, Jeff Kelly, Brittany Cameron and Blake Slega, Jack Smith, Jerry and Sonny Smith, Taylor Squires, Chris and Crystal Stanberry, Mark and Kendra Vandover, Alex Venegas, Ryan and Hallie Westbrook, Louise Weidman, Jerry and Beth Wilbanks, Heather Williams, Nikki Williams, and Brandon and Christina Wood. Let's welcome them to the fellowship. Would you do that? Yeah. Wow. God has just been so good. We're so grateful to have all of these in our fellowship this morning. We're in our series this morning on touching heaven. God has just got some great things I know in store for us, as we're just going to reemphasize this in our life. And I want you to look at James chapter 5, verse 16. I want to read from the New Living Translation this morning. James writes and he says, "The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." Here's what I want you to think about this morning. I want you to think about, where are you with regards to that? I want you to ask yourself the question, does my life display the fact that I really believe that? What is your attitude about prayer? What kind of part does prayer hold in your life? You know, back over in Luke chapter 11, Jesus one day was praying, And the disciples obviously were watching him. And when Jesus finished and I suppose, you know, came back to where the guys were gathered, the disciples asked him, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us how to pray." Now, of all the things that they could have asked the Lord, they asked him, "Teach us to pray." Now, why is that interesting? Because these men had been tracking with the Lord day in and day out. They had seen Jesus do all kinds of miracles. They had watched the Lord heal the sick. He raised the dead. He did all kinds of miracles, turning water into wine. He preached some marvelous messages. The disciples never asked Jesus, "Teach us how to preach." They never asked him, "Lord, teach us how to do miracles." They never said, "Lord, how do we raise people from the dead?" They never asked him that. But what they did say was, "Lord, teach us how to pray." Now, why did they do that? They asked Jesus, "Teach us how to pray," I believe, because what they understood was that prayer was the absolute life support system of our Lord. The disciples understood if they were going to explain the life of Jesus in any way to anybody else, the only way that you could explain what happened in Jesus' life was going to be prayer. They understood that prayer was the key to his life. And what I want you and I to understand is, what I want you to think about this, there is nothing more vital to the pastoral ministry than prayer in my life. There is nothing that gives me more strength to stand up here and to minister the word to you than me being on my face. And I simply want you to understand, I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord. I don't know what you're experiencing on a day-to-day basis, but I will tell you this. The extent to which you experience the Lord in your life, the extent to which you experience miracles on a day-to-day basis, where you see God do something that the only way you can explain it is God, is directly connected to whether or not you are a praying man or woman. That you do it in a biblical fashion. You know, people use prayer sometimes as a magic wand. It's just like, you know, if I pray to get whatever I want, that's the way that they kind of look at it. Or maybe it's a first aid kit, you know, and the only time that you really pray is when you're in, you're in a jam. Or maybe you see prayer for you as like a tug of war, and you just, how can I get God to give me what I want? But what the Lord is saying is that prayer is nothing like that. It has nothing to do with that. Prayer is about a relationship, and that's what I want to get into this morning. And as we begin this morning, let me just kind of set the stage. That I am believing that someone here this morning doesn't believe in prayer the way that you used to. You don't hold to it like you did. And the reason is because you believe you prayed and God didn't answer your prayer. You asked God for something and he didn't come through. If you get out your life point outline, I want to show you this first truth this morning. From the Bible perspective, every prayer you pray is answered by God without exception. I want you to understand that. That is a biblical truth. I'll come back to that a little bit later on this morning. So if you say, "Well, I prayed and God didn't answer," I'd call you out on that. I say, no, that's not a true statement. But if you were to say, "Well, I prayed, but when I pray, I just don't feel like that it gets any higher than the ceiling. I just don't feel like that my prayer is effective," I might agree with you with regards to that. But to say that you prayed and God did not answer you is not a correct statement from a biblical perspective. Now, in our text, I want you to keep your finger there, James 5:16. Here's what James says about prayer. Notice what he says. He says, "The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." Here's the way James identifies a man or a woman who has power in prayer. And what he says is, the man or woman who has power with prayer is, must always be a righteous man or woman. And maybe you think, well, maybe that lets me out. Or look at the truth in your outline. Righteous means that you are right with him. And I want you to think about that this morning. I want you to think about, am I right with him? Am I right with the Lord? Because it being right with the Lord, and I want you to understand this, it does not mean that you are a super saint. Being right with God doesn't necessarily mean that I'm ready. I feel like I'm ready for the rapture. I can walk the streets of gold because I'm 100% for God. Being right with the Lord, being righteous, simply means that I am a man, and I understand that through my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am in today, and I was yesterday, and by his grace, I will be tomorrow. I am in a living, vital relationship with God through faith. I believe him, and I am in a relationship with him. And I want you to ask yourself, is that true for you, that you can say, I am in a relationship with him? And what that means is your relationship with the Lord alive? Could you say, it is an alive thing? It is moving and it is growing. Because in my walk with the Lord, I have those wonderful, marvelous times where it's whoop-you-doo and it's marvelous. And I also have those times where God maybe has me plastered up against the wall and I am brought face to face with my own weakness and my own inabilities, and I am challenged beyond myself to fling myself upon him that God can do through me what he wants to do. Let me tell you something. That is a relationship with the Father. That if you're in a living, vital relationship with him, God is going to ask of you things that you cannot do on your own. He is going to call you to do something that you can only do through a relationship with him. Listen to 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. Examine yourselves to see if your faith is really genuine. Test yourselves. If you cannot tell that Jesus Christ is among you, it means you have failed the test. And so what I want us to ask ourselves this morning is there evidence in your life that Jesus Christ walks with you? Is there evidence in your life that you are in a relationship with him? Because the Bible declares that prayer that works is a prayer that has power. And that's what God is wanting to do. God is wanting to lead our fellowship. This has been on my heart ever since before the first of the year. When I was praying and asking God, where do you want us to go for 2016? I could not get away from this burden that was on my heart that God wanted us to focus on prayer for a season of time. And so we're here this morning by divine leadership. And so I want you to look, number one, in your outline. What can prayer do, or what prayer can do? What does prayer that has power look like? Well, I want you to look in your Bibles. I'm going to read there in just a minute. Acts chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 19 in just a minute. I want you to get there and be ready. At this particular point in Acts chapter 12, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord has already taken place. And the Lord's gone back to heaven. It hasn't been too long. The church, of course, has grown quickly. On that day of Pentecost, I mean, the membership of the church just exploded and went to 3,000, of course, has been growing since then. And the Jewish community was all on a stir. It's like Christianity was just going to take over everything. They were everywhere. Well, King Herod had a hugely poor relationship with the Jewish leaders. And he sought to gain some kind of political capital. And so what he did was he decided to come against something or someone that they hated more than they hated him. And that was the Christian community. And so the Bible says that Herod had the apostle James put to the sword. He had him killed. And then Simon Peter was imprisoned 24/7 with guards brought in to watch over him and to get him ready for a public trial and then an execution. Now I want to begin reading in Acts chapter 12. Let's pick up right there. About that time, King Herod Agrippa began to persecute some believers in the church. He had the apostle James, John's brother, killed with a sword. When Herod saw how much this pleased the Jewish leaders, he arrested Peter during the Passover celebration and imprisoned him, placing him under the guard of four squads of four soldiers each. Herod's intention was to bring Peter out for public trial after the Passover. But while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep, chained between two soldiers with others standing guard at the prison gate. Suddenly, there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. The angel tapped him on the side to awaken him and said, "Quick, get up." And the chains fell off his wrist. Then the angel told him, "Get dressed and put on your sandals." And he did. He said, "Now put on your coat and follow me," the angel ordered. So Peter left the cell following the angel, but all the time he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize it was really happening. They passed the first and second guard posts and came to the iron gate to the street. This opened to them all by itself. So they passed through and started walking down the street, and the angel suddenly left him. Peter finally realized what had happened. "It's really true," he said to himself. "The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jews were hoping to do to me." After a little thought, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. He knocked at the door in the gate, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to open it. And when she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, this is incredible, that instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told everyone, "Peter is standing at the door." Is that nuts or what? Anyway, "You're out of your mind," they said. "What are you asking God to do?" "We're asking him to deliver Peter. He's at the door." "Oh, you're crazy." While they finally went out and opened the door, they were amazed. He motioned for them to quiet down and told them what had happened and how the Lord had led him out of jail. "Tell James and the other brothers what happened," he said. And then he went to another place. At dawn, there was a great commotion among the soldiers about what had happened to Peter. Herod Agrippa ordered a thorough search for him, and when he couldn't be found, Herod interrogated the guards, sentenced them to death, and then he left Judea to stay in Caesarea for a while. There's an incredible thing. I want you to think about the need that's in your life. Maybe you're at a place right now where there is just a huge need, whether it's for healing or it's for God to open a door, for it's for a job, it's for, you know, financial challenges that you're having. I want you to think about your prayer experience and see, does your past experience line up with this? You just look at this passage. There was a real need for God's power. They needed the Lord to show up. And it says then, secondly, people really prayed. I mean, you should talk about it. They really prayed. They got down on their knees. They got down on their face before the Lord. And the third thing is, God answered with an amazing display of supernatural power. God just opened these doors. And then the fourth thing I think it was so incredibly funny is the church was so shocked that God had answered their prayer. But isn't it true when God just does something that God's going to do, it just kind of takes your breath. You're looking for it. You want it to happen, but it just blows you away. Here's the insight in your outline. The Bible declares there is a mind-blowing power in prayer. That's what I just want to get in front of us. I want you to realize again, there is this mind-blowing power in prayer. And here's what God is saying. Prayer. Now listen. And only prayer brings the God of heaven into the impossible situations of your life. That is the only thing. And here's the challenge. There's a challenge in your outline. If you're going to pray, you ought to believe God can and will do what's impossible for you. I mean, if you're going to pray, you got to believe that. You just got to believe that. God is waiting for our fellowship to believe him and to recognize his power to help us. Now, let me just clear something up right here. It is not about you feeling it. Don't get all caught up and think, "Well, I just don't feel it." No. I'm not talking about feeling. Remember when we talked about in Scripture that real love is not necessarily feeling. It does mean you can feel, but real biblical love is not just about feeling. You know, people say, "Well, I just don't love you anymore." And then, you know, I just want to say, so what? It doesn't matter. The deal is, did you make a commitment?
You see, that's what biblical love is about. Biblical love is about a commitment. It is a commitment of the will to do what is best for somebody. It is a choice, a decision that you make. And when it comes to faith, faith has not anything primarily to do with feeling. It has to do with what you believe in your heart. And having faith in the Lord to be able to pray with power does not mean that you feel it, but it means, now listen, that you are willing to declare it. The first Sunday morning that I got up in front of you and stood behind this pulpit and declared to you, and this was like 10 years ago, that God was going to raise up a church of 3,000 on this hill, I took a risk. Did I feel it with every fiber of my bone? Let me tell you something. I was trembling. There was no antiperspirant on this planet that was going to be able to take care of the intensity of what was going on under my arms. There was this incredible, incredible pressure that was inside of me. Why did I declare it to you? I'll tell you why. Because I believed it. I believed it. Did I feel it? I didn't feel it. I was scared to death, but I was declaring it. That's what faith does. Declares what it believes. It risks. It will take a risk and it will stand on what it knows to be truth. That is what real faith is. And I'm going to tell you something. That is the foundation for praying. And my Father has told me, and your Father in heaven has told you, He has incredible power in so many areas. God has power over people. Is there not a time in your life where you just need God to work in somebody's life who is in a relationship area with you? Can I get an amen on that? You know, whether it is in family or whether it is in your job or whatever it is. In Genesis chapter 32, the Bible says Jacob prayed because of his brother Esau's, whose heart was against him. Esau wanted to kill him. And Jacob prayed, and he prayed with everything he had. And Genesis 33 and verse 4 says that when Esau finally got to Jacob, instead of killing him like he said he was going to do, he ran up to him and he hugged him and he embraced him and they cried. And let me tell you something. There is the same God in heaven that worked in Jacob's life is willing to work in your life and restore a relationship between a parent and a child, and restore a relationship between a husband and a wife. God is on His throne, and He is able to do that. He's the same God. And that's what the Scripture is declaring. And so here's the truth in your outline. Miracles are what happens when God enters the picture. And He enters the picture through my faith and your faith. Listen, I don't have to be able to explain how a man can be swallowed by a big fish and live in stomach acid for 3 days and survive. I don't have to be able to explain how an iron axe head can float on top of the water simply because you throw a wood stick into the water. I don't have to come up with a scientific explanation about how a worldwide flood can occur and a huge boat built by an amateur, I might add, can preserve the animal species on our present planet and bring them through until all that water dries up. Here's the reason why. Here's the truth in your outline. Once I wrap my mind around the reality of an all-powerful Creator God, everything becomes possible. Once I get to the place where I know God is there, everything else, and it's a shoe-in. God can do anything. And here's the deal. When you and I work, we work. When we pray, God works. I can't control nature, but God can. I can't control the wickedness and the attitude of the actions of people around me, my family, my friends, people here in church. I can't do that, but God can. I can't control the unexpected circumstances of life, but God can. 2016 has just begun, and already I know that there's some of you who are overloaded by demands. You have already been overwhelmed by the fast pace of your life. Your life maybe has changed in certain ways. And maybe even this week, you have thought to yourself, I just don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can keep up this pace. I mean, I want you to understand That is the reason why God has perfectly timed this series for you. That God knows what you're going through. And God is calling on us as a fellowship to ramp up our lagging prayer life. Listen to John 16, 24. The Father will give you whatever you ask, Jesus said, in my name. Till now, you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy will be complete. I want you to write something in your outline because I didn't give it to you this morning. Let me give this to you. This is this morning. Prayer is God's chosen method of meeting your needs. If you've got an unmet need, if you've got an overwhelming situation, prayer is how God is going to do that. God is good to me. God is good to you. Would you say amen to that? You know, God is good. There's so many things that God gives you just because God is good. But here's what I want you to understand. Listen to me. There are things God wants to do in your life he has not done because you're not praying. There are things God would do he hasn't done because you have not asked. Ask and you shall receive. I like what Charles Spurgeon said years and years ago. He said, God never shuts his storehouse until you shut your mouth. Amen. I wish I'd said that. God's got a storehouse in heaven, the prophet says, out of which everything that he's got for us is kept. And here's the question. Where are you bound in your life so that it seems it is impossible for you to overcome? Where do you need God because you just don't have what it takes to meet that challenge? I want you to look back at our text, if you would. Peter was an impossible situation. There were 16 soldiers assigned to him, 4 on duty at a time. 2 were at the door, and he had 2 other soldiers, 1 attached to each arm in his jail cell. And then Acts 12, verse 5, listen to what it says. So Peter was kept in prison, but, amen. Don't you love that conjunction? Amen. But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Puritan preacher Thomas Watson said this. I love this. The angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. Some of us need an angel. Some of us, we need God's help. Prayer is what's going to get it there. So that brings you to my last point, and that is why you should pray. Why should you pray? You know, people wrongly think, well, God already knows what he's going to do in every situation, so why pray? I don't know how many times I have heard that. Now, in Luke 11, I mentioned that at the beginning of the message. Jesus had been praying, and the disciples were watching him from a distance, remember? And when he came over to them, the disciples only asked him one thing. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And then this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. And he started, and the first word out of his mouth was what? You remember what it was? Father. He said, when you pray, start this way. Say it with me. Father. One more time. Father. Okay, that is hugely important. Here's the truth in your outline. Prayer is a relational event. If prayer for you is not a relational event, it's not going to work. It is a relational event. If you say, well, God's going to do what God's going to do, you don't understand parenting, or you were a bad parent. I don't know any parent worth their salt who would want their child to say, there's no use in me asking Dad. There's no use in me asking Mom. They're just going to do what they're going to do. They don't really care what I want. They don't care how I feel. They don't care about what's going on in my life. Now, is there any parent worth their salt that would make a statement like that? Of course not. And the Bible says, this is what Jesus said in Luke 11, 13. So if you, sinful people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God said, I will do even better than you. So look at the inside in your outline, if you would. God has chosen to act by our prayers. If we're needing God in our lives, God says, I act through praying. Maybe you're saying this morning, I know Pastor, I know that God can. It seems like God never does. All right? Let me give you three truths here. Number one, when you pray, God hears. You know, you say, well, I know God can answer prayer, but it's just like whenever I pray, it just doesn't happen for me. Well, here's the first thing I want to tell you. When you pray, God hears. 1 John 5:14. This is the assurance we have in approaching God, that He hears us. When you pray, the ear of heaven is listening. Number two, God cares when you pray. 1 Peter 5:7. Let God have all your worries and cares, for He is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. When I pray, when you pray, God hears me and God cares. He cares. And then lastly, when you pray, God answers every time. Every time. Isaiah 55:8 from the Message. I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. What does that mean? It means that whatever it is that you're praying for, God hears what you're praying for. God knows what your need is. And as you are praying, God is saying, you are working with me. And there is a reason I have permitted you to go through what you're going through. Maybe it is a financial challenge. Maybe it is a physical issue. Maybe it is a relational issue with a husband, with a wife, with a child. Whatever it is you're going through, God is saying, I have permitted you to go through what you're going through. I have directed this in your life because I want you in prayer before me. And as you come to me, as you invite me to come into your life and work, there is something I want to do through you. You're thinking, all you're seeing is this, but it is in your praying that I'm going to be released to do something that I want to do through you, and I'm going to make your life even more meaningful than you could ever imagine. It is not just about you having your prayer answered. It is about God who never sleeps, God who never ceases to amaze us, God who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. This God has got more going on than you and I could ever imagine. Jesus said, I work and my Father works. God never stops working. There's always something going on, and there is something God is wanting to do if you will get in partnership with Him through prayer that will absolutely blow your life open and cause you to rejoice in Him. And so here's the insight. God answers every prayer, but how and when is another matter. Now let me explain to you what I'm talking about. Tony Campolo, this guy I like to read about from time to time, he was going to speak at a service at a church, and prior to service time, there were 8 men who said, we want to pray over you. I mean, what preacher worth his salt is not open for more prayer? And so Tony said, fine, it'd be great. And so they take him to a little side room and they begin to pray. Well, they get Tony down on the floor and these 8 guys are around him, right? And so they come on and they're all laying hands on him. They got their hands on their head, hands on his shoulder. He said, they prayed a long time. And he said, the more they prayed, the more tired they got. And the tireder they got, the more they leaned. And he said, have you ever had 3 guys with their hands on your head and they're increasingly leaning more and more on top of your head? He said, well, that's what was happening to me. He said, but the real issue was this one guy. And he said, he kept praying for some guy named Charlie Stofus. Dear Lord, you know Charlie Stofus. He lives in that silver trailer down the road about a mile. You know the trailer, Lord, just down the road on the right-hand side. And Tony said, I want to say, do you really think God is saying, now what was that address again? It's like, land the plane. And so I said, they go on and on and on. And then the guy comes back. He's still on Charlie. And he says, Lord, Charlie told me this morning that he's decided to leave his wife and 3 kids. He told me that he was walking out on his family. Lord, step in, do something, bring the people in that family back together again. Well, it felt like he's going on and on and on about Charlie Stofus, leaving his wife, leaving his kids. Finally, they finished. Tony said, finally. And so he gets up and he speaks at the church, you know, does his deal, and then he leaves. When he gets in his car, he gets on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and he's headed home. He said, one of the things that I've just gotten to do as a ministry is, he said, as I feel led by the Holy Spirit, I'll pick a guy up who's, you know, he's hitchhiking. And so he said, we're driving along, there's this guy walking on the side of the road. He said, so I pull over, and the guy gets in, and they start off and everything. And so, you know, Tony turns to him, he said, well, I'm glad to help you. He said, what's your name? The guy said, my name is Charlie Stofus. True story. Well, Tony doesn't say a word. He puts on his blinker, and at the next exit, he pulls off the turnpike, you know, hits the loop around, and goes back and headed back toward town. Well, the guy is kind of concerned. You know, he was going that direction. Now he's going back to town. And so Tony said, the guy looked over me, he says, mister, where are you taking me? Tony said, I'm taking you home. Why? Why? The guy asked. And Tony said, because you just left your wife and 3 kids, right? And he said, the guy plasters himself up against the door on the other side. And he said, yeah, that's right. And he said, how did you know that? He said, God told me. And he said, as he was driving back into town, said he went past the church and he went on down the road and he came to where the silver trailer was and pulled in, and the guy's like, you know, he knew exactly where he lived. And so Tony turns to him and he said, now get out of the car and let's go inside. Well, they knock on the door, and a shocked wife comes to the door, and she says, you're back. And Tony said, Charlie leans over and whispers something in her ear, and her eyes get big, and she looks over, you know, at Tony. And Tony says, now the two of you go inside, and I want you to sit down. I'm going to talk, and you're going to listen. And so the two of them did. And he said, that afternoon, that man and that woman gave their hearts to Jesus Christ. And a home that was headed for the rocks was saved. And a home was turned around. You have no idea what God wants to do in this time. We're in a season right now where we're getting ready for Easter. We have no idea the number of people that God wants to bring here. We have no idea the souls that he wants to save. But I'm doing this because God wants us to be a praying church. A praying church is a holy church. A praying church is an exciting church. It's an enthusiastic church. Why? Because we're going to see prayers answered. God is wanting to answer some prayers. There are some of you, you're needing a miracle in your home, in a relationship with a husband or a wife. You need a miracle with your health. You need a miracle with your job. You need a miracle with your finances. God acts according to prayer. And the Lord is saying, if you will trust me, I will do in your life what you need, but there's more I want to do that you cannot even imagine. So I want to ask you to bow your heads for just a moment. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And this time this morning, this is going to be the invitation, just you sitting right where you are this morning. Because I want you to have this personal time between you and the Lord. And I want you to pray a couple of things. I want you to think about this morning, about one specific thing in your life that you can pray for. One thing that maybe is just right there that you really, really need. Your greatest need. And what it is that you would like to ask God to do. I want you to get that in your mind. And then I want you to think about this Easter season. And I want you to think about somebody in your realm of relationship and influence who doesn't have a church home. They don't have a walk with the Lord. Maybe they're just lost and wandering around, and you just see them as somebody who just needs direction. But they just need to know the Lord before their life comes to an end. I want you to think about them somebody that God would open up an opportunity for you to bring them during this Easter season, because they don't have a church home. They don't have a place to go. Now, I want to lead us in prayer. And I just hope that you'll pray this prayer with me this morning in your heart. Lord, thank you this morning for speaking to me about prayer. I don't want my praying to be a habit. I don't want my praying to be dead. And I ask you this morning, I'm asking you to help me understand the power of prayer. I want you to direct my life. Father, I want to see miracles happening. Things that can't be explained any other way except you. I want your name to be glorified. I want people to honor you and to hold you up. And so, Father, I ask you right now for this one special thing. This thing that's closest to my heart. And I ask even now that you will open the door and help me to reach out to this person, this man, this woman, that I know you've given me an in into their life. And during this Easter season, to point them to Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.